much God's wondrous love can do. Amen.
Please turn with me in your bulletin to the small catechism for this week. Our question this evening is, what is the benefit of this eating and drinking? These words, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, show us that in the sacrament, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation are given us through these words. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. Hear again the word of the Lord. This is my body, which is given for you. This cup that is poured out for you is the New Testament in my blood. In the name of Jesus, amen. Given and shed for you. Or as our ESV has it, given and poured out for you. Last week we examined the word testament in the words of institution, reflecting upon the Lord's Supper as Christ's final will and testament, and the implications for interpreting these words in light of it being a testament, and specifically how the Lord's Supper is the gift of Christ's body and blood. Today we continue this series on the Lord's Supper with Luke's account of the words of institution. While Matthew was there in person, and Mark records Peter's memoirs, Luke gives us what seems to be St. Paul's account of the words of institution and the Last Supper. St. Paul tells us that, I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you. And in 1 Corinthians, he goes on to record the words of institution, much like Luke has them right here. Now, St. Paul, not being one of the 12, well, he wasn't there that first supper. But the Lord apparently personally gave those words to Paul, as he says, I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you. And what beautiful words does Luke give us here? What beautiful words does Jesus speak on the night when he is betrayed? Tonight, I will be unpacking this beautiful phrase of our Lord, or at least to begin to, those words given and shed for you. Tonight, we will unpack these under the headings of sacrifice and sacrament. For here, in these words, is the heart of the gospel. And understanding this distinction is pivotal for us as we understand what these words mean and what this sacrament that Christ has instituted is. We must first look at the difference between a sacrifice and a sacrament. These words must be carefully understood and whenever we speak about the Lord's Supper. Because the word sacrifice is often applied to the Lord's Supper, but as Lutherans we recognize this can only be applied in an extremely narrow sense. Otherwise, we turn God's gift into our work. So we must first look at what is a sacrifice. Well, in the Old Testament, we generally see a sacrifice being an offering to God by our hands. In Leviticus, there are several types of offerings and sacrifices. There's burnt offerings and grain offerings, peace offerings, sin offerings, and guilt offerings. Ordination offerings for the priests, the daily offerings in the morning and in the evening, the purification offerings at the birth of a child, the Day of Atonement and all those offerings, all the other feasts with their offerings and sacrifices. The list goes on and on. There's an entire book of the Bible, Leviticus, devoted to detailing painfully each and every one of these sacrifices. God established for Israel a regular schedule of offerings, tithes, and sacrifices that they were to give to him on specific times, days, and places. Grain, animals, crops, these were all regularly brought to the temple, along with gold, silver, and other precious things, all offered up to God. And of course, with those animals, there was the regular spilling of blood and the regular wafting up of incense and the smoke of the burnt offerings. From an outsider's perspective, it appears that the Old Covenant, well, it was a covenant of works, chiefly concerned with what we give to God. And in fact, Israel often thought that was how it worked. If they simply gave to God what he demanded, well, that they would get all the benefits. This inspired the prophets to critique them. For example, Hosea, who says, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice, declares the Lord." And it prompts the apostle Paul to say that Israel did not pursue it, that is salvation, by faith, but as if it were based on works. For in the economy of the Old Covenant, gifts and sacrifices are offered that cannot perfect the conscience of the worshiper. Hebrews 9:9 puts it very well. Because this Old Covenant that was established at Mount Sinai, that blood that was thrown on Israel, well, that covenant could not be kept by human works or by human hearts, for it demanded perfection. But here's the thing. The covenant made at Mount Sinai between Yahweh and Israel, well, it was not contrary to the promises of God. For if, as St. Paul puts it, if a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But Scripture imprisoned everything under sin. See, there were the Ten Commandments given and every other precept, rule, and instruction in the Old Covenant. But these rules were not given that Israel might sanctify themselves by keeping them, but to show them, in fact, that we and them were incapable of fulfilling the righteous demands of God, incapable of reconciling us to the Father. The commands and the covenant given at Mount Sinai make it extremely clear. Do this. Do not do this. If you fail on a single point, I will smite you. As we see Nadab and Abihu, who dined with the Lord in our reading today, were destroyed when they offered strange fire before the Lord. The sacrifices were part and parcel of this covenant, showing the severity of human sin. Blood needed to be shed in order to reconcile us to God. As the curse put it, on the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Those words stand, and they needed to be fulfilled. The blood of animals needed to be shed in order to reconcile us to God, to cleanse us, and to restore the relationship between God and man. Every day, Israel was reminded of this fact when they heard the final cries of the animals, when they felt the blood splatter on their faces, as they smelled the burning flesh. This is the cost of reconciliation between God and man. Death. The death of the innocent. Innocent lambs, bulls, and goats that died for our sin, that were slain as sacrifices on those altars. As St. Paul puts it, Scripture imprisoned everything under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. We return then to the word sacrifice. Because if we're talking about the Lord's Supper, if you mean by sacrifice that this is a work of man, commanded by God or not, that we do to merit God's forgiveness and grace, well, that word has no place in the Lord's Supper. For us as Lutherans, we firmly reject this idea that the Lord's Supper is our offering of Jesus up to God. And we do this in many ways, including the way that we have our liturgy. We have the words of institution as words that are spoken by God to us, as opposed to words that we speak as a prayer to God, as the Roman Catholics do. Because we recognize that this is not a sacrifice. It is not something we offer to God to appease him. Instead, it is a sacrament. It's not our work. It's not our offering. It's not our sacrifice. It is God's sacrifice. Christ is offered once for all on the cross for our sin. And the benefit of that sacrifice once for all is received here by faith. The promise by faith in Jesus Christ is given to all those who believe these words, given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of sin. That is what we mean, dear Christians, by a sacrament. This is a churchly term meant to emphasize Christ's completed work as opposed to our work and our sacrifice. For Jesus is the one who was stripped, beaten, and put to shame for you. Jesus and his body was the body that was flayed open. The body that was spit upon. The body that was offered up on the altar of the cross for you. He was mocked, shamed, and spit upon so that you might have redemption. He was offered up as a sacrifice on your behalf to die the death that you rightly deserve because of your sin. His body was given unto death to redeem your body. His blood was poured out to cover over your sins. And he has instituted this supper as a testament, as a testimony, as a sacrament, a pure gift of God to benefit all who believe and receive it by faith in his word, given and shed for you. Wherever God's blood covers over and pays for sin, their life is restored and promised. Where death himself is swallowed up, their salvation and life eternal is given. This final sacrifice on Mount Calvary was not made with sinful man's hands, bringing his gifts before God. Instead, it was made by the innocent one, who now gives you, the guilty one, his innocence as a gift. He takes your guilt and shame, and he takes it upon himself. And the innocent one bears the wrath of God for you. It is by his wounds that you are healed. And praise be to him forever and ever, because he is the final sacrifice, the one who has been offered to forgive your iniquity, to cover your sin, and to appease God's wrath. To him be the sacrifice of praise and thanks forever and ever. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus now and forevermore. Amen.